Again, Mitzvah Yud Aleph, looking at the Sefer HaChinuch inside, page Ayin Beis. Shalo Yimaseh HaMatz B'Rishusinu Kol Yimei HaPesach. The Chametz should not be found in our Rishus, in our domain, all through Pesach. Shnamar, as the Pasuk says, Shivas Yimim Se'or Lo Yimaseh B'Vatechem. For 7 days, Se'or shall not be found in your homes. The pasuk says bivateichem, in your houses, but Chachamim explained it's not just in your houses; it's anywhere within your domain. The v'lav davka seor shumechametz, I should say, duadin lechametz, not just seor, which causes other things to become chametz, right? That's the sourdough starter. But anything that is chametz, disor v'chametz chadu l'inyan isuro, as far as the prohibition is concerned, the Gemara explores this. They're both aser. Mishershei a mitzvah, among the roots of the mitzvah, is kedesh nizkor la'olam anisim shenas ulana b'tzias mitzrayim k'mashakasuv b'seha pesach. As we wrote regarding the carbon pesach, we have to remember the nisim. The nizkor she'ir olanu ke'inyan zeh, shemitoch chipazon hayitziah afino ha'isa matzah. We should remember that as a result of our haste, we baked our dough as matzah, kilo yochlu l'yismameya ad sheyachmitz. They couldn't delay until it would become chametz, k'mo shekasev ayifuas habatzik. And of course we know the classic discussion about the fact that they knew in advance when they were leaving, why didn't they actually have dough, and isn't matzah to remember what they had in Mitzrayim? We've discussed that. Dinei ha-mitzvah, k'gon im hifkir chemtzo b'yarachei reman dino. The laws of the mitzvah, such as if you put his chametz in someone else's possession to watch, or other people gave him chametz to watch, v'chein chametz hektish b'yado, or if there's hektish chametz in his possession, o shal goy b'achrayus, or if a non-Jew's chametz is in his possession and his responsibility, v'shalo b'achrayus, or not in his responsibility, just in his house. V'din goy ilim shehifkid lo chametz, what should he do if a powerful non-Jew gave him chametz to watch? V'din tarovas chametzim over an olive, and also about tarovas chametz, mixtures containing chametz. Are you in violation for that? What about bread that's gone bad? Yes, sir, Pratah, and the rest of the specifics move on, but Pesach Rishon are all explained in the Prakim of Psachim that we call Pesach Rishon. V'noheges, we're on page Ayin Vav. V'zicharim uvinakevos, it applies to men and to women. V'chol makom v'chol zman, everywhere, all the time. V'over ala nividim sachamitz b'rishus of amazid avar al shnei lavin, mishum bal yeroy oval yimatzei. If someone has chametz, so b'mezid, he's in violation of these two prohibitions, lest to be seen, lest it be found. V'loket kozman sha'asa b'maisa. And if he did a deed, then he's actually going to get malkos. How do you do a deed? How can this be a product of an action? Kigon shachimetz isa v'inicha v'veso. He made dough chametz and left it in his house. So the fact that he made dough chametz is sufficient to warrant malkos. O shalaka chametz v'itznio v'veso. Or he went out and he bought chametz and put it away in his house. But if he didn't go out and buy chametz on Pesach, but chametz that he had from before and simply remained in the house, ein lo ke'olav, there are no malkos. We know there's no deed involved, there are no malkos. Okay. So last time already, which was 2 weeks ago, we started on this mitzvah, and what I wanted to talk about this week is what I call on your sheet the cubicle fridge question. But it's not just the cubicle fridge question, it's also the sold chametz question. And here's the issue. Am I allowed to have a non-Jew's chametz in my possession on Pesach? So the cubicle fridge, I have a fridge at work, and non-Jews who I work on the same floor keep stuff in my fridge. Do I have to get rid of it before Pesach? Not dealing with the question of you might end up eating it by accident. Let's say I'm not even going to be there. Let's say I'm going to be off on Chol HaMoed and I'm not going to be around at all. Can the chametz remain in my fridge? Or, happens all the time, you sell your chametz but it remains in your house. Is that okay? Or should that be considered chametz in your rishus, chametz in your domain? So that's what I'd like to address. You know the answer already from the outset, because everybody does sell chametz and keep it in their houses, so obviously you know that you can get away with it. The question still is why. So there are three passages of Gemara that we need to see to open up this discussion. First of all, if you take a look at source Aleph, Gemara Psachim Dev Hamad Beis, Amar Mar. They're quoting from an earlier source there. Yachol yatam en v'yikabo pigdonos min anachrim. I might think that one could put away chametz, or one could receive chametz as a pikadon, something to watch, from someone who isn't Jewish. Tamad lomar lo yimatzei. The Torah says lo yimatzei. You can't put it away. and say, well, I'll just keep it till after Pesach, and you can't have it given to you to watch. To which he says, well, wait a minute, you're telling me I can't have a non-Jew's chametz in my possession and I just watch it? Ha'amrit reisha shalcha'iyat taroa aval taroa shalachar mishal gavoa. Right, like we talked about last time, you're allowed to see chametz of others, you're allowed to see chametz of the Beis Hamikdash. So which is it? Why is it that you're telling me that he can't have someone else's chametz in his charge? So this is a low kasha. That's no problem. These two different sources are dealing with two different cases. Ha de kabel alei achrayus. Ha de lo kabel alei achrayus. One is where he's responsible for it. One is where he's not. If he's not responsible for it, it's just sitting there and it's not his own, then it can stay there. If he is responsible for it, if something were to happen to it, he'd have to refund its value. That's our assumption, that that's the definition of achrayus. We have to refine that a little bit later. Then indeed it may not be in his home. Clear? Ki haga amar Rava levnei Mechoza, and we give an example. Like Rava told the people of Mechoza, Mechoza the city, which was Rava's city, bi'iru chamira debnei chela mibat haichu. He told them, burn, destroy the chametz of the soldiers from your houses. The soldiers were billeted with them. They didn't evidently have the U.S. Constitution, which said that you can't force them to have the soldiers stay in their houses. They had the soldiers staying with them, and Rava said, you have to get rid of their chametz. Kevin de ilu mignev, because were it to be stolen, v'ilu misvet, or were it to be lost, birshu saichu koi, it would be within your domain, uba'isu l'shalume, and you would have to pay for it. Therefore, kidlachon a dummy, it's like it's yours, v'aser, and that's prohibited. So our first section says to us, you can't have it in your house if you have responsibility for it. Notice, I'm going to jump the gun a little bit because it's going to help us later on. What type of responsibility does Rava define as responsibility here? What's his... Right, true. But for what type of damage?
Stolen or lost.
Stolen or lost. Right. Deva Veda. That's not the lowest level of achrayus, right? The lowest level of achrayus is pshia, not to be careless. Right. This is actually a higher level of achrayus. So keep that in mind, please, because I think that's going to matter. The equivalent of shomer sachar, someone who's guarding for pay. Second, Gemara shortly after that one in source base, Tanu Rabbanan, Nachri shenichnas lachatzeru shel Yisrael. Ubetzeko biyado. If a non-Jew enters a Jew's yard holding his dough, Ein zakuk levayr. The Jew has no responsibility to get rid of it, right? You have a someone comes, he needs to work on your sink or whatever it is, and he walks in with his lunch. It may be uncomfortable for you, but he's holding his own food. You have no responsibility for it. Hifkido etzlo. It's a good idea to keep it out of the kitchen, though. Hifkido etzlo. If he gives it to you to watch, then is zakuk levayr. You have to destroy it. Yiched lo bayis, but if he designates a space for it, okay, so you said to him, this is your spot where you keep your chametz, and this spot is your property, then again, ein zakuk levayr, you have no responsibility to destroy it. So it's predicated upon your acceptance of achrayus, your acceptance of responsibility for the chametz. Zev, if you don't mind hitting the door, now that the gang's all here. So that's base. And then the third, gimel, we have the last piece in the puzzle for just setting this up. Yisrael shehel v'lenachwi alchem tso, la'achar ha-pesach eino over. If a Jew lends a non-Jew money, and the non-Jew provides him with collateral, and the collateral is chametz. Okay, usually I prefer my collateral to be gold, silver, or precious gems. But no, instead I got his loaf of bread as collateral. I guess it's not a long-term loan. The non-Jew gives me the chametz as collateral, so after Pesach I am not in violation. That's the first view. That's the Tanakhama. Mishum Rabbi Meir Omer, O Amru, Over. But they cited Rabbi Meir as saying, of course you're liable. It's in your domain. Hacha b'mayaskinan, the Gemara a little further along asks, what's our case? Kigon sherhino etzlo. It's not just that he set up as collateral this chametz, where it could be sitting in the non-Jew's house, but he actually gave it to you to hold on to. Ukamif l'gibet Rabbi Yitzchak. And the fundamental debate is the debate that Rabbi Yitzchak has. Dama Rabbi Yitzchak, because Rabbi Yitzchak says, minayin lebal chov shekone mashkon. How do you know that a creditor who is assigned the collateral is considered to be the owner of the collateral. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, Ulochat tihiyat tzedakah. The Pasuk that talks about giving back the collateral to the pauper to use, you say, this is going to be very good of you. It's very nice of you to give it back. So he says, Imeno kone mashkon tzedakah minayin. If you don't own the collateral in the first place, it's not nice for you to give it back to him. You have to give it back to him. What makes it tzedakah is the fact that you're giving him something that is yours. So you are considered to be the owner of the collateral. Mikan lebal chov, shekon emashkon, says the Gemara. So that's Rabbi Yitzchak's statement, and it's controversial. And that's the debate about the non-Jew using chametz as the collateral during Pesach. If you say, bal chov, kon emashkon, that the creditor acquires the mashkon, then ostensibly, if the mashkon is chametz, you can't have it during Pesach. But if you say the bal chov does not acquire the mashkon, all you're doing is keeping it in your property pending repayment of the debt, but it's owned by the borrower, then you have no problem. It's just like the guy who walked in and carrying his lunch. That's not my issue. Yeah.
Is that the law? In other words, you should give the cloak back to someone who's lending to you or whatever. That's by you should give him back because that's all he has to wear or whatever, right? That's the law. Is that by a goy also? Is that a lacha by a goy? In other words, when the Torah says, you take something for security, you should give it back because it's all he has.
Good.
It's only by a yid.
Good. So we're actually going to discuss the difference between Jew and non-Jew in terms of shmira.
Right.
But here, it really won't be so relevant. Because what all they're trying to show is that in the case where you do have to give it back,
right,
we use terminology that indicates that
so
you are really the owner.
It's universal.
It's a universal principle. Baal Chov owns the mashkon, correct.
Right.
Regardless of whether he has a chiyuv of returning it. So, the two questions again are, what kind of, well really, the two questions we have to ask, and one of them I didn't introduce before, what kind of responsibility does a Jew have in general for a non-Jew's property, if it's given to him to guard? Forget collateral, just in general. And number two, what kind of responsibility counts as far as liability for possessing chametz? I already pointed out in Source Aleph that Rava said to them, you better get rid of this because if it were to be stolen, you would be responsible for it. So what level of responsibility is it that triggers for me my title of Chayev Levar, that I have to destroy it before Pesach? So what we're going to see is a four-way Machlokes Rishonim on this. Rashi 1, Rashi 2, the Rambam and the Rush. Okay? I work to try to get this in an order within which I could understand it. I am hopeful that I understand it, and doubly hopeful that I can convey it. We'll see. It'll be an adventure one way or the other. But looking at the table, I want to walk us through the table first, because it's going to help us to understand it. The first row is whether I am liable to guard the property of the Akum. Meaning, do the laws of Shomrim, as outlined in Parshas Mishpatim, apply to an Akum or only to a Yisrael? And you'll see across the board, based on a Gemara that's going to be in Sor Zdalid, nobody believes that the laws of Shomrim apply. You may contract with him whatever you want, but the Torah's laws are not the default. That's number one. Number two, the second row. Forget the Torah's laws. Am I liable for pshia if I am careless with his property? Not under the laws of Shomrim, but just in general. Rashi, version 1 of understanding Rashi, is no. Rashi, version 2, is yes. There's a machlokes into what the Rambam said. Did the Rambam say, yes, you are liable? That's the Shagas Aryeh position. Or in the Menachas Chinuch position, no, the Rambam says you're not liable. And then finally, the Rush says, no, you're not liable.
Is this a case of the guy gave his man a watch?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then a third, what level of responsibility for property triggers the right responsibility to burn it before Pesach? So Rashi, one version in Rashi, or the Rush, is that it's Pshia. Even if all I'm responsible for is Pshia, that's good enough to make me responsible to burn it. Whereas the view of the second explanation of Rashi and the view of the Rambam is that it has to be Geneva Va'aveda, like we saw in Source Aleph. So I understand that this probably makes no sense right now, but I'm hopeful that by walking through the table, it'll be a little more clear when we see it in the sources themselves. We begin with the Gemara Bava Metzia that everybody agrees with, Source Dalet. Mishnah says, Havadim v'hashtaros v'karkos v'hahegdeshos. Eilen tashlumei keifa v'lo tashlumei abav hachamisha. Okay? These four categories. Havadim, shtaros, karka, which we always link together. They all have the same collective status. As well as hekdesh. If it's stolen, you don't pay kefel. If it's a lamb or an ox and it got shechted or sold, whatever, you don't have the four or five times. Shomer chinam, who's responsible for them, and the owner comes back and says, hey, what happened to my eved, shtar, whatever? Eino nishba, he does not swear. There's no shavua for it. There's no shavua for karkos, there's no shavua for ekdesh either. Vinosei sachar eino mishalim, and if it's a shomer sachar, you won't have to pay. And then the Gemara it says, commenting on that, Tanu Rabbanan, ki yitain ish el re'ehu is my klal. Okay, the Torah says, when one gives to another, that's my klal, kesev okelim is the prat, and so on. Hekdeshos, the rule for hekdesh is, amar kra, the Torah says there, in the piece we just quoted, ki yitain ish el re'ehu, when one gives to his friend. So re'ehu v'lo shel hekdesh. Not hektish. In other words, the reasons why these laws don't pertain to avodim shtaros karkos are not germane for us. What's germane for us is the reason why these laws don't apply to hektish. Because the Torah says, ki yitain ish el re'ehu, and hektish is not your friend. The hektish is Hashem's property. That's its own separate thing. So based on that Gemara in Bava Metzia, we're going to say the same thing is true regarding the Nachri. Re'ehu always means the clan, members of the tribe. If someone's not a member of the tribe, these laws of Shomrim are no longer applicable. The Torah only set up rules for how Jews are going to relate to other Jews in terms of property. The Torah did not give us guidelines for how the Jew and the non-Jew are going to get along in terms of guarding property. That's simply not there. It's not within the purview of Beis Din. And that's what the Rambam ruled. Take a look at source Hey.
Just out of curiosity, why didn't the Gemara include Nachri in there as well then?
Yes, so we have to come back to that. It's a good question. Hold that question for just a little bit longer. Take a look, please, at source Hey. The Rambam writes in the beginning of the second parak in Hilchos Chirus, Shlosha Dinin Ha'amurin B'Torah, Barba'a HaShomrin, the three laws the Torah states regarding the four Shomrim, and the reason he says that is because we know there's Shomer Chinam on one end, there's Shoal on the other end, and in the middle you have Shomer Sachar, or Nosei Sachar, and Socher. Right? We do it based on benefit. Shomer Chinam, all the benefit goes to the owner. The Shoal, all the benefit goes to the borrower. And then the two intermediate ones are on the same status. There's a shared benefit, either because I'm using it but I'm paying rent for it, or I'm guarding it but I'm receiving payment for it, for guarding it. So those three categories that were stated, Einan ela b'metaltalin shel Yisrael v'shel hedyot, only applies to property owned by a Jew, and specifically, bless you, not by the Beis HaMikdash. Shne'emar, because the pasuk says, kesef okelim b'chol behemah, that's Yatsu Karkos, it excludes land, because those examples are not land. The Yatsu Avadim Shehuk Shula Karkos, we take out Avadim because they're linked to land. The Yatsu Ashtaros Shein Gufan Mamon, we exclude legal documents because they have no inherent worth. The Yatsu Ekdeshos Shnemar Ki Yitain Ishal Re'ehu, right, like we just read from the Gemara. And the Yatsu Nichse Akum. And Akum's property is out also. He doesn't spell out why this is so, but the Shagas Aryeh says that it's because of Schiros, and really what he was quoting is this Magid Mishnah. Take a look at source Vav. Umashamar Yatsu Hekdeshos V'nichse Akum before Sham in that Gemara, Hekdesh Re'ehu Ksiv. Perish meaning Ve'ein Hekdesh Re'ehu. That's the rule for an akum. Whenever the Torah says re'eyu, it never includes the akum. Upashuru, he says this is obvious. And mevor v'brum v'mechilta. And if you look at the mechilta, you'll see it there too. So we take the Rambam to say that that he's exempt. Not exempt. The laws of Shomrim don't apply with a non-Jew. But here's a quirk. Take a look at Zion. This goes back to Ivan's question. Yeroeli, it appears to me, says the Rambam, Shem Pasha Hashomer ba'avadim v'kayotze bohen. If someone is guarding avadim or something like those, Chayav l'shalim, he has to pay. If he is guarding them and he was posheya, Shem Pasha. And he was Poshaya, then he will have to pay. The exemption is only for theft and loss. Umesa, or dies, ukiyotzeban, and similar things. Shem hoya shomer chinam, amatatl, and so if he's guarding for free, he's guarding movables for free, v'nignivu o'avdu, and they are stolen or lost, yishava, he should swear, ordinarily, uva'avadim, v'karkos, ushtaros, potem yishvua, there is no oath. V'chinam hoya shomer sachar, and so does the shomer sachar, shemeshalim gineva v'aveda b'metatlin, right? So potem yishalim v'elu, he won't have to pay gineva v'aveda for these. Avalim Pasha, but if he's careless, Chayav Lashalim, he'll have to pay Shekola Poshaya Maziku. The Rambam explains why. He believes that Pshia is Mazik, is causing actual harm. That's why you're responsible. In other words, it's true, Shomrim don't apply to these things. But Pshia isn't a violation. Carelessness is not a violation of Shomrim. Carelessness is vandalism. Right? I took your watch outside, and I left it on the bench, and it started to rain. Oops. Can I say Pshia? No, you're Mazik. You took the guy's watch, you left it out in the rain. So therefore the Rambam says, you're Chayiv. But notice what he omitted? What did the Rambam skip? Akum. It's not there. Why? Where did it go? This is a machlokis in trying to understand the view of the Rambam, what the Rambam was doing here. Take a look in your Minchas Chinuch, please. Yud Aleph Zayin. It's page Ayin Gimel. Vihine, the beginning of the paragraph. Vihine. You see it? Yeah, you're on the right page. It's the outside column. Vihine. Yisrael shekibel pikadon migoy o mi Yisrael vekibel avachrayus over. Okay, if a Jew accepts a pigadon from someone who isn't Jewish or from a Jew and he accepts responsibility, he's in violation. That's about Chametz on Pesach. Ayin Barishonim, Shulchan Aruch. Yesh Shitos. Da'afilu ein olav rak achayas mipshia over. There are views that say that even if his responsibility is only for pshia, for carelessness, he's still in violation regarding Chametz. V'yesh sorum davka achayas l'gneva v'aveda. And some say no, only responsibility for theft and the like. And that's what we had just mentioned in the table that we're going to have to come back to. But he says regarding this Rambam, that's what I wanted to grab. Yeah, further down in this paragraph, the Va'ani Kasavti B'Makom Acher is the middle of the paragraph, right after a period, and there's a footnote, Ted Zion. He says, Va'ani Kasavti B'Makom Acher, he says, I've written elsewhere. That the Rambam in Halacha Aleph mentioned the property of non-Jews explicitly, even though it wasn't in the Gemara. End of quote. Velo kolal hekdesh ugai. He omitted hekdesh and he omitted the non-Jew. Al karchach, you have to say, davka avadim ushtaros v'karkos chayav. It's only by the cases that he mentioned that you're going to be chayav for the for pshia demazi biyadayim because he's actively arming it aval hektish v'goy, but property of the Beis Hamikdash or property of someone who isn't Jewish depater gam kein mazik biyadayim, he's going to be exempt from liability even for this active harm that we call carelessness. Alken lo kasav Rambam hektish v'goy, and that's why the Rambam didn't mention those. So according to the Minchas Chinuch, and you see it there on your chart. Right? According to the Minchas Chinuch, the Jew is not chayav for pshia, for property of the Akum. The Shagas Aryeh disagreed. Unfortunately, my access to the Shagas Aryeh, to the cut and paste Shagas Aryeh, was cut on Friday. The library we're using, for some reason, the system went buggy, and I couldn't get it back in time to put it on the sheets. So I didn't end up giving it to you. But the Shagas Aryeh, in Simon Pei Ches, in explaining a Rashi, which is quoted in the Ran, assumes that the Rambam does indeed believe that you're chayav for pshia. Just like the Rambam read into that Gemara that the Akum is there, even though the Akum wasn't mentioned in Source Dalet, so too the Rambam omitted the Akum here, but he meant it. Theoretically, it should be there, and we're going to see that a little bit more later on. So the view of the Rambam is subject to debate. The view of the Rush, we do know. If you take a look on your sheet in Source Ches, the Rush, it's Perek Beis, Simon Chaf Aleph in Bava Mitzia, is that he is Potter, as the Shagas Aryeh understood the Rush. He says, Rav Alfa Zal Kasav, he quotes the Rif, b'tshuva. Hamafkid shtaros etzel chavero umode shapasha v'hu. If someone leaves documents with somebody else, and that person acknowledges that he was careless, the nignivu o nevdu, and then they were stolen or lost, hotur milashalim, he's exempt from paying. Udvarav nirin. And his words, what he says, makes sense. Kevin shows he has elu michla parshas shomrim ein lechayvo elamitam adam hamazik. Because since these are not under the general rules of shmira, they're shtaros. Therefore, you don't say you're liable under shomrim. You're only liable as a mazik. Uposheya bedavar v'neva v'chashiv adam hamazik. And he says if you're careless and it's lost, that doesn't make you a mazik. That's not the type of carelessness that we call vandalism. When the Rambam said you're liable for carelessness because you're a vandal, it didn't mean all carelessness. There's carelessness that's like vandalism, and there's carelessness that's not. Sharib shib bailim potter. After all, he says, if you were to tell me that all carelessness was like vandalism, then why would I say that if I borrow something from someone, and the owner is there with me, and I'm careless, I am exempt from liability? If it's truly vandalism, you should be chayev. If he's called a mazik, then she shouldn't be exempt from liability with the owners present. Rather, he says, you're not called a vandal since you didn't actively destroy it. It was just that. You got careless. You didn't guard it properly. Therefore, it was ruined. El al shmiras shomer chiyavto tara helkach bebailim potter. That's the rule of ptur bebailim. Vekevan shotzia tara es elu midin shomer ptur mafiv shia. The tara said these things aren't under shomer, therefore you're exempt even by pshia. So the way the Rush phrases it is that this is true for all the things that are not in the category of shomer, and therefore, says the Shagas Aryeh, the Rush will apply to an Akum's property as well. The Rush will say that for the non-Jew, you will be putter for pshia. That's the upshot. You'll be putter for a standard issue pshia. And the sefer called the Chok Yaakov. The Chok Yaakov is on the side of the daf in the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Taf Mem. Points out that there is some wording here of imhu chayabachrius and kibal avachrius, but I'm not going to go there right now. So what we've seen is this. We've seen, number one, that I'm not liable to guard it. Number two, the Rambam's view about liability for pshia is uncertain. The Rush's view is that you are exempt from liability. And we haven't seen Rashi yet. Rashi we're going to try to figure out by extrapolation. We're not there yet. Two very interesting side notes here. What about Shlichus Yad? Right? V'chemish Shalach Bo Yad. The funny case that always comes up when you learn about Mitzia, and to me it's always perplexing. Every time out I don't understand it. The rule is that you give me something to guard. Okay? You gave me a vase and said, Tochiner, please guard the vase. Tochiner picks up the vase that's been put in a certain spot in his house and moves it to another corner. And at some point later it gets stolen. Or some brace or whatever. Not as a direct result of what I did, but it happens to be I moved it. I'm chayev. Because of shlichus yad. Because I touched it. Because I moved it. So, am I liable then for shlichus yad with an akum's property? So, the answer is no. The Minchas Chinuch says, because we're I want to make sure to give maximum time to everything else. We won't see it inside now, but it's in Mem Zayin, Sivkot and Gimel. He says no, because he says general liability for Shlichus Yad is a Chiddush. It's not logical. It's just Gzeres HaKasav. The Torah says so, and it's a big novelty. The Shita Mekubetza says this in Bav Mitzia, Mem Aleph and Bet Aleph, and Menchas Chinuch says it in Mem Zayin Gimel. And he says, because it's a Chiddush, it will not extend to an Akum. And he writes that in Menchas Chinuch Nun Zayin Sivkot and Vav. So if you want to take a look at that, that's one quirky point. The other quirky point is, what about the opposite direction? You're telling me that the Jew doesn't have laws of Shmira for the non-Jew's property. What about a non-Jew for a Jew's property? Theoretically, he's living in a position where our Beis Din has jurisdiction. What would the law be? Siktos HaChoshen says, no, he's not chayav for yours. You're not chayav for his, he's not chayav for yours. Take a look at Source Tess. And look at the
Ketzot.
Yeah.
In the pasuk, the Rehu is the Shomer. Right. Aish is the lender.
Right. There's a mutual, there's a mutual two-way.
If you were strictly reading the pasuk.
Yes.
Right. You would exclude a goy as the shomer faster than you would exclude the goy as the mafkir.
Because he's the shomer in that pasuk.
He's the written.
I think it's a dual relationship. I mean, we say it's back and forth.
Ishoreu means.
And then the mutual relationship.
Yeah. Well, take a look, though, in test. The Odia Royal Lee, it further appears to me. Said the Ketzavs. Dichi hechi di Yisrael shekibel shmir me'akum pater kimavur b'simin shen aleph umishum dichsev reyehu imkein hu adim ahefech pater kevin delav reyehu. He's not reyehu, so there's no reason for him to be, and he's really saying what Zev is saying. He can't play reyehu in that pasuk. Ve'av agav degabe nizak in mishalim, granted that we do have a principle that the akum who damages your property actively is supposed to pay. The pasuk from Chavakuk, where we say that that Hashem did certain things to their property. Otherwise, he would be exempt if not for the special gzeras hakasuv. And that's only a drasha regarding nezek. But as far as Shmir is concerned, Okma Adina, we follow our law. Even if we know for sure he was careless, he's going to be Potter. The Ketzos also discusses Shavua and quotes the Beis Yosef saying, in fact, that they shouldn't have to swear on a taina of ours either. This is also seen in the Rambam here in Source Yud. He says, Shor Shal Yisrael, Shenagach Shor Shal Nachri. If the Yisrael's ox, Gore is the ox of the Akum. It's the same principle that Ketzos already mentioned. He says, if the Yisrael's ox gores the non-Jew's ox, Bein Tom, Bein Muad, Potter, we say, right? That's the fundamental principle. The Torah didn't legislate for relations between the Jew and the non-Jew for this. Because in their own courts, they don't say that you are responsible if your animal causes harm. So we're just going to follow their principle. There is no liability. Then why is it that we say that if they damaged your ox, your chayev? Remember the story from Sanhedrin? The story about, it's not Sanhedrin, it's one of the Babas, maybe Baba Kama, about the Roman senators who came to learn Torah and they learned this halacha and this bothered them, that if the Jew's ox gores the non-Jew's ox, the non-Jew, the Jew is potter. Because in their courts, the non-Jew's ox to a non-Jew's ox, they're also potter. But if they gore ours, now suddenly our Beis Din is going to say chayev. They were very upset and offended by this law. So the Rambam explains it, saying, "The Shor Shal Nachri Shenagach Shor Shal Yisrael in Source Yud Bein Tam Bein Mud Mishalim Nezek Shalim Knas Huzel Agoyim." He says that's a fine for them. Lefisha Einan Zihiran BeMitzvos, because they aren't careful with mitzvos. Einan Misalkin Hezekan. They don't keep from harming others. They don't keep their dangerous creatures away. And if you're not going to say, hey, watch out for your animal, then they're not going to guard it, and they're going to damage people's property, so it's meant to keep it in line. That's the idea. But the point for us, says the Ketzos HaChoshen, pointing to this, says Menchas Chinuch in Zion, pointing to this Rambam, is that it's a knas for causing harm. That doesn't apply in our discussion about Shomrim, about guardians, which is where this whole discussion takes place. That's just a side note. To recap, our core questions are this. What kind of liability, what kind of responsibility does a Jew have to have for a non-Jew's property in order to have to destroy it if it's chametz and Pesach is coming? Right? A non-Jew gave me chametz to guard. With the two cases I mentioned in the beginning. One, I have a fridge in my cubicle at work, and there's a non-Jew who keeps his chametz in my fridge. Do I have a responsibility to eliminate it from my fridge, to warn him, get your stuff out of my fridge before Pesach? That's question number one. And question number two, I sell my chametz to a non-Jew. It's sitting in my house. So I have a non-Jew's chametz in my house. Do I have to destroy that before Pesach? And again, the answer is no, because nobody does that. But on what basis is the answer no? Why is the answer no? Why don't I have a responsibility? So what we've proven so far is this. If you accept responsibility for the non-Jew's chametz, we saw in the opening Gemaras, then you have to destroy it before Pesach. That would in fact be the rule. By the way, an interesting discussion in a footnote from the Kometz HaMincha Amim and Chaschinuch on the bottom of page Ayin Gimel about whether that would be called theft. If you were to in fact destroy the non-Jews' chametz, would that be called theft, and would you be liable for that? That's a separate note.
Yeah, without first telling him to take your stuff out of my house.
Yeah. Or even if you did tell him.
Yeah, if you told him, then it's a different story.
No, but even if I did tell him, why does it stop it from being theft? Unless I said to him, as of such and such a date, it has to be out of my house, so I'm going to put it out on the street. That's a different story, right? The question is, what level, when we say I'm liable and I have to destroy it, when we say that I have to destroy it if I've accepted responsibility, what level of responsibility counts? Is it responsibility for carelessness? Is it some higher degree of responsibility? That was really our key question. And then along with that, we had the question of, in general, what kind of responsibility do I have for a non-Jew's property that's in my possession? So we've already walked through the Rambam, who told me that the laws of Shomrim don't apply in general between Jews and non-Jews, because the Torah says, Ki yitein ish el re'ehu. So he's not called re'ehu. He's not part of a clan. Therefore, the laws of Shomrim don't apply. However, I might have automatic responsibility not to be careless with his property, having nothing to do with the laws of Shomrim. Just in general, you're not supposed to be careless with other people's property. And that, we said, on the sheet, was a machlokas. We saw that. The Rambam's view is unclear, because the Rambam doesn't actually mention the case. He mentions other cases. He doesn't mention this one. And so the Minchas Chinuch said that the Rambam believes you are not liable for Pshia, for a non-Jew's property. The Shagas Aryeh believes you are liable. And the Rosh believes you are not liable. And we'll see what we do with Rashi soon enough. But now we get to the part where this is all supposed to get tied in together. What type of responsibility is significant when it comes to possessing chametz? So Rashi is problematic. Take a look at Source Yud Aleph, please. Source Yud Aleph is Rashi on the Gemara that we already saw in Source Beis. Source Beis, we said, if the non-Jew comes into your yard with his own chametz, he's carrying his lunch, you don't have to get rid of that. That's his lunch. It's not your problem. However, if he gives it to you to guard, then you do have to get rid of it. So Rashi says in Source Yud Aleph, Ein Zakuk Levayer, if the non-Jew is holding his chametz, you do not need to eliminate it. Lo his kikuhu, they did not require him, lahotzi es hanachrim in abayis, to evict the non-Jew from your house. Kedamram, like we've learned, avalata roa shalachirim, you can see other people's chametz, that's not a problem. Hivkido etzlo, but if he gave it to the Jew to watch, v'kabal alayachrayus, and the Jew accepted responsibility, kedim afarish va'azil, as the Gemara discusses, then zakuk levayer, the Jew must get rid of it. Now, what level of responsibility is Rashi talking about here when he says, Hivkido etzlo v'kabal alayachrayus? What does that mean? He doesn't say. So what can I deduce here? Is there anything I can work with here to make the deduction?
Either the split, either Pshia or like a regular shank.
Like Neva Vaveda?
Yeah.
How would I know which it is? No. No. No such luck.
The regular shomer can't be, because there's no question of shmir.
Well, we don't... Right, so what achrayas are we talking about here? So the Shagas Aryeh says that he believes it's even responsibility for pshia. That's the Shagas Aryeh's approach. Even responsibility for pshia is sufficient. Hivkido etzlo v'kabal ayachrayus. And says the Shagas Aryeh, I believe that the Rambam says you're responsible for Pshia, and that's what Rashi is saying. It is effectively Rashi base. That's one approach in Rashi. Rashi believes that there is no law of Shomrim. That everybody agrees with that based on that Gemara and Source Dalet. However, Rashi will say you are liable for Pshia automatically, as the Shagas Aryeh understood the Rambam. And therefore, And that could be what he's saying, except for one problem. And this is the problem. Go back to that Rashi again. Rashi added in a key factor. Hivkido etzlo v'kabila le'achrayus. You accepted achrayus. If I'm liable for pshia, that's a baseline. I don't have to do anything or say anything in order to be liable for pshia. My responsibility, we already explained, the reason I'm responsible not to be poshea is because you're called a vandal if you're poshea. It doesn't have anything to do with me saying I'm going to be responsible, right? When I park my car in your driveway, that doesn't give you the right. Well, they live without the driveway. I park my car in the parking lot. That doesn't give you the right to say, well, I never accepted responsibility for Pshia. You can't be Poshea. And all the signs and whatever saying not responsible for your belongings are just not true anyway. The responsibility of not to be Poshea doesn't require any explicit acceptance. You can't be Poshea. So when Rashi says, V'kiv v'kavel alei achrayus, what level of achrayus is he talking about? Geneva v'aveda. Right? It has to be a level above. Otherwise, what's he makavel? It doesn't work otherwise. Exactly.
That presupposes that Rashi accepts the premise that you're automatically any shomer.
Exactly. So therefore, we have
you start with that premise, and you don't say that.
Right. So there are two ways. Exactly. So there are two ways to take Rashi. Right. Either Rashi believes, and here go back to the table, please. Either Rashi Aleph. Rashi believes that you are not chayiv for pshia ordinarily for the Akum's property. Kabbal Achrayus refers to Achrayus pshia. And that's enough to warrant that you eliminate the chametz. Okay, that's one take. Or shift it up a level. Rashi believes, as the Shagasaya believes that the Rambam does, that you are automatically chayav for pshia, and therefore here he must be talking about geneva va'aveda, and that's your level of responsibility, which will trigger the obligation to get rid of chametz. The difficulty with Rashi Beis is just that he really should have used the words geneva va'aveda then, because that's really a level above. Nonetheless, that's the two different ways to take Rashi with extremely important practical ramifications. This isn't to be neglected. What happens if I have my cubicle fridge and the non-Jew wants to keep his stuff in my fridge? And he says to me, look, don't worry about it. You know, I'm fine, you know, having the stuff in your fridge. If I am still responsible for Pshia, let's say I unplugged the fridge and didn't tell him, right? That's Pshia. Maybe it's even Mazik B'Yadayim. But call that Pshia. I was careless and I didn't inform him that I was unplugging the fridge. Would I then have to pay him? If I would, then I have Achrayus Pshia. I don't necessarily have Achrayus Geneva V'Aveda. Our co-worker from down the row came in and took his stuff out of the fridge, right, and ate it. I'm not responsible for that, but I am responsible for Pshia. So what's my threshold of liability that's going to trigger the requirement to destroy the chametz? If you take Rashi Aleph, the threshold of liability is Pshia. And in that case, I can't let him keep his stuff in my fridge over Pesach. However, according to Rashi Beis, the threshold is Geneva V'Aveda, which I don't have, and therefore he can keep the stuff in my fridge over Pesach. So this is a very important practical point, and it depends on how I understand Rashi. That's Rashi. What about the Rambam? So take a look at source Yud Beis. The Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah. Goy shehipkid chemtzo eichel Yisrael. A non-Jew leaves his chametz with a Jew. In kibel olav Yisrael achrayus. If the Jew accepts responsibility, shem avad o nignav, yishalim lo damav. Saying, I'm responsible for geneva va'aveda. So the Rambam is not tiptoeing around it. He's very explicit. The achrayus that we're talking about is geneva va'aveda. Yishalim lo damav. That he would then pay. Hareze chayiv levaro. He has to eliminate it. However, kibbal alav achrayus nasa kishalo. Since he accepted responsibility, it's like it's his. Vim lo kibbal alav achrayus. But if it's not responsible, then mutar lekayem bo etzlo. He can keep it there. Mutar lechlemenu achar pesach. Shebershu zagoyu. It's the non-Jew stuff. So the Rambam says it's geneva va'aveda. Where did the Rambam get this idea from that it's geneva va'aveda? So one possibility is indeed that Gemara, and then there's another piece that adds to it. We saw back in Source Gimel, we said that if the Jew lends the non-Jew money, and the non-Jew gives him chametz as collateral, right? So it's a debate about the Baal Chov Kone Mashkon or not, right? If the Baal Chov, if the creditor is considered to be the owner of the collateral, then he can't hold chametz as collateral. Right? That was what we said in the very beginning. Well, what's the status of the Baal Chov as the owner of the collateral? Take a look at Source Yud Gimel. We're already at 44 minutes, so I'm not going to belabor it. If you were to read Source Yud Gimel, you would find that the law of a Baal Chov on a collateral is that he's no less than a Shomer Chinam. and therefore chayav for pshia. Everybody agrees with that. If everybody agrees that he's no less than a shomer chidam, what's the debate about? It must be the threshold is not pshia. The threshold is gineva va'aveda. And that's why there was a machlokas. That's the way the Shagas Aryeh explains the view of the Rambam. So the Rambam says, Gineva va'aveda, I think he has an excellent support from source Aleph, where they had a responsibility for Gineva va'aveda for the billeted soldiers' chametz. However, the Shagas Aryeh brings the proof from the fact that they have a debate about the Jew holding the non-Jew's property as collateral, and there everybody agrees you're chayav for pshia, so there's no machlokas. The only reason for there to be a machlokas is if it's about gineva va'aveda as the standard. So according to the Rambam, the standard is gineva va'aveda, and therefore there's nothing wrong with me keeping the non-Jew's chametz in my cubicle, even if I'm chayav for pshia, as long as I'm not chayav for gineva va'aveda. Last, the view of the Rush in this discussion. The Rush, take a look at source Yadalid, says, Tanu Rabbanan, this is the Gemara that we saw from Hayamid Beis, Nachmi Shenichnas Lechatzah Yisrael Lubatzei Biyado Ein Zakuk Levayr. If the Najju comes into my house holding his Chameis lunch, I don't have to destroy it. Hivkido Etzlo Zakuk Levayr, if he gives it to me to watch, then I do have to destroy it. Mikan Raya the Shomer Chinam Chayiv Levayr. From here we can prove the Shomer Chinam must eliminate it. Distampikadon Shomer Chinam Hu. Because we assume you are, in fact, a Shomer Chinam. So the Rush says that even responsibility for Pshia makes it yours, and you have to destroy it for Pesach. The problem with this is that the Rush that we saw previously in Source Ches said that by the non-Jew's property, you don't have responsibility for Pshia. So this must be where he accepted responsibility explicitly. Right? Okay, but then what's the Rush? If the Rush is telling me the standard is Pshia, what's he going to do with the Rambam's source? That Gemara about the Baal Chov, the creditor, being responsible for the Mashkum, what's he going to do with that? Unless you're going to say that the Rush is going to disagree with the Rambam, and the Rush is going to say that Re'ehu takes him out of even Pshia. Re'ehu takes him out of everything. I'm not going to rush that point, so to speak. Instead, I'll use the last couple of minutes for review. That'll be a better use than trying to force through the Shagas Aryeh's last point. Well, the upshot of this is that, number one, the laws of Shmira don't apply between a Jew and a non-Jew in either direction, meaning that the non-Jew guards my stuff, he's not responsible. The Jew guards the non-Jew stuff, he's not responsible. That's a flat rule. However, per the Rambam, As some take the Rambam, as the Shagas Aryeh takes the Rambam, you are responsible for pshia. You are responsible for carelessness. The Minchas Chinuch disagreed in his understanding of the Rambam, as we saw. We had side notes about Shlichus Yad, and I'll leave that out for the Chazara. But what level of achrayus, what level of responsibility is significant when it comes to possessing chametz? We saw the Gemaras in Psachim about the billeted soldiers, about the non-Jew comes into your house, and the discussion about the non-Jew's collateral, that is chametz, in the possession of the Jew. We saw that if you are responsible for it, then you are going to have to destroy it before Pesach. What level of responsibility? So Rashi said, if you were mekabel achrayus, you have to destroy it. So either Rashi believes that you automatically, by default, have no responsibility. And if you accept Pshia, then you are responsible, because even Pshia requires destroying the chametz. That's one take. The other take is that Rashi believes that by default you have Pshia responsibility, but that's not enough to require you to destroy the chametz, and it's only if you accept responsibility for Gneva Va'aveda. That's when you'll have to. Which would match the Rambam. The Rambam's view indeed is that by default you are responsible for Pshia, but for Pesa, per the Shagas Aryeh, correct. And the Rambam's view is for Chametz, it's only Gineva Vaveda. Perhaps his source is from the discussion regarding the Shomer Chinam. That may be a basis for making this statement. From the fact that regarding the Baal Chov and regarding the Mashkom, we said that he's only Chayav for the... We said that we have a machlokes whether he has to destroy the mashkon before Pesach, right? And everybody agreed that you were chayiv at least for pshia when it came to the Baal Chov. So that should have been the source for the Rambam. And then the Rosh, with the last point, takes the stance that even achrayas for pshia makes it yours, and therefore you'd have to destroy it before Pesach. So therefore he would say, you can't keep it in your cubicle, you can't do anything, and therefore according to the Rosh, if I were to sell my chametz before Pesach to someone who wasn't Jewish, but leave a chametz in my house, I would be responsible either to be miyachid lo bayis, to actually say, this house is yours, this space is yours where the chametz is, or alternatively, to write up a contract with him which says, I'm not responsible for anything, I'm not even responsible for pshia.